search me. I'll give it all up just to be with you. I'm so happy now you got me. I'll surrender all my love to you. Don't you see what you're doing to me? I'm in love and I can't break free. Now I'm begging with you, baby. Please don't leave me hanging. Oh, no, no. It's a lockdown, baby. You drive me.
Hello and welcome to a cynical supplement. Wow, it's been a long time since I've used that term. It's Cynic talking about the Sony press conference of E3 2017. Solo recording, so it's just going to be me. I don't know if this is going to go up by itself or it's going to be tacked onto something else, but hey, it's going to be me rapping about what I thought of the Sony press conference. And while doing so, I'm watching the PC Gaming Show press conference on mute. My audio quality is hot garbage right now. I just... ran some tests with my lavalier microphone, with and without noise cancelling, with and without noise processing, and a bunch of other stuff, and I just couldn't really find a way that sounded good. I'm just going with this option, of a couple of different bad options. I'm sorry for that. I'll see if I can look into just getting a good USB microphone going forward. I'll see if there's any better options nowadays. Last time I checked, there aren't actually that many good options. What I do know is that it's probably not the lav mic itself. It's probably the Realtek audio device actually on the motherboard of this laptop. Looking at it, it's got some pretty significant noise in the DSP or the DAC, analog to digital converter. I forget what the fuck the term for that is, but the microphone input on this has some noise on it. And beyond that, the sound suppression makes you sound really robot-y. So that's why I sound robot-y. I have... the inbuilt sound suppression turner. Anyway, that's enough for that. Let's talk about Sony. I don't want to say I predicted it, but there you go. You can't, at least from my perspective, this Sony press conference proved that I was right in terms of you cannot have a number one stunner with a bullet press conference every single year. You can't come up with a massive, massive surprise that blows everyone away every single year. You can't have a 10 out of 10 press conference every year, because part of that is to have big bombs, and if you keep dropping bombs, you eventually run out of them, which is what happened to Sony, I think. In this particular case, I don't think, well, for me, there was Shadow of the Colossus, we'll get to in a second, but I don't think there was really a particular moment for most people in this that they were really, really wowed. I think that a couple of people would have like gone crazy for Monster Hunter. I bet Brad was pretty happy about that. And I think there's a couple of cases where people were just like really happy with what they saw in terms of games they saw in development. So God of War and Spider-Man were definitely cases where people who are looking forward to those games already would have probably been impressed with what they saw. But in terms of just like a new thing you'd never heard of and that really surprised you, I didn't really see anything there that would really, blow anyone away. In fact, most of the games there were stuff we've already seen. They didn't see any more of The Last of Us 2, which is, in my opinion, actually probably a good thing. Like, I don't want to see more of that game. I'm happy with them to go dark until they're ready to put it out. Like, the next time we see that, it should be, the end of that trailer should end with a release window within the next 6 months, or at least next year. So if it's coming out in 19, then show it in 18. If it's coming out in the end of 18, then show it next E3. Like, I don't need to see it until then. But that said, may as well start. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I don't have notes for this. I was working at the time of the press conference, and it's pretty late now. But anyway, so off the top of my head, started with Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, I think is the name of that. I don't know, whatever the DLC is called, or the standalone DLC with Chloe. I was watching the Twitch stream, and the sound was fucked for the first 5 minutes or so until I realized that it was just Twitch's problem, not Sony's, and YouTube was fine. So I don't know. I wasn't that interested in the first place. Like, it's more Uncharted 4, which is never a bad thing, but it's not something that would really get me excited. Like, I don't even know if I'll play this at release. I don't even know if I'll play this full stop. It just looks like Uncharted, which is, not a bad thing, but not an exciting thing either. After that, they went on to Horizon DLC. This is interesting because I was actually hoping for a prequel. I was hoping for Rost as DLC. I was hoping to see his backstory in the flesh. That was one of the coolest things in Horizon Zero Dawn, like finding out like the mystery behind Rost and finding out what happened to Rost. And I still won't say it out loud. Maybe one day before Horizon 2 might do like a catch-up spoiler cast or something. I don't know. But the... I was hoping for Rost. I was surprised to see Aloy again. And I love the fact that they had her in the Weaver... I think it's called the Weaver armor? What are the end game armor is that you have to get all the power cells for. It's funny because it also means that are they balancing the new DLC around you being in that armor? That armor makes kind of a lot of the endgame like ludicrously easy because it gives you overshield, and that game isn't designed to deal with you having an overshield, which is great. It gives you like that power, that feeling of power. But it seems like she's going somewhere new, some new mountain, probably with a what do they call them? Like, fuck, all like the weird, like, specific jargon names I've forgotten. But, like, the giant thing that Hades was in, the giant walker robot, that I think she's probably going towards another one of them, if I was to guess, and some different mountain. Because this isn't Gaia. The Gaia's gone. Maybe she's going towards one of the other dudes, like Hephaestus or something. And trying to find out what happened to the other AIs. That could be good. I hope that's the case. Like, it would make sense if it's Hephaestus, because that's what you find out when going into the... I should stop there. Spoilers. I should definitely swap. I can't believe I just said the words Hephaestus. I hope you find out more about what happens. And there's a couple loose threads in the game that you find out about in very obscure ways. That I hope it gives you more info on. But yeah, I was actually I prefer a prequel, only because I think any form of like post-game content should be saved for the sequel. That game warrants a sequel. It's probably my favorite game of the year. It's between that and Persona 5, and I haven't picked which one. I'll see how good the DLC is, and I'll probably play through Persona 5 again. I've used that to make my final decision. But it's really up there, and I'm happy to see that it exists. I guess it's like a matter of like, should you even have expectations going to E3? I don't know, but I was hoping for a prequel, and this wasn't it. So we'll see how this goes. After that, it was something else. I don't remember, like this just proves how like unexciting it was to me. Like really, like the first half until Sean Layden comes out was stuff we'd already seen before, or like follow-ups to shit we already seen before. Let's see if I can find an article. Or like look at polygon.com or something to see if they have a list out of what the fuck was at the Sony conference. But I remember being surprised by it. In fact, it really is after Sean Layden walked off stage that we got the big surprises of the show. Okay, let's see. I'm going to go up to a Sony E3 countdown or a thing. Let's see. Sony E3 is really unusual. Thanks, Polygon. That's a really useful fucking article. That told me fucking nothing, bastards. Sorry, I should be slagging on the people I'm trying to use to get information, but really. Okay, 15 best announcements at Sony. Like, considering there aren't many announcements, there probably is a couple announcements in here. I can't believe Ni No Kuni 2 was before the conference. They should have that in the conference. Like, it's weird to me that they had stuff before the conference at all. I was just like, what the fuck? That was a weird decision on their part. Nope, they still don't have everything that was in there. The 15 best announcements, what's ends it? No, nothing. Okay, I don't remember. That was something after, probably something I didn't care about after fucking Horizon, and there you go. Shortening comes on, talks for a bit. Continuation of the thing last year, they didn't have a live orchestra, which is interesting. I'm actually surprised they didn't have a live orchestra. I don't like what they did this year. I don't like the stage bullshit. Like, it didn't play well on camera. Like, it might have been okay for people in there, but like, seriously, guys, like, I want to see, like, last year they nailed it. They had a perfect presentation. They never cut away from gameplay. The games were full screen, and all the bullshit wide shots and shit were on the right hand side of the screen, you know, multi like camera view. So you had everything up close where you actually wanted it, and all that other fucking stage bullshit that I didn't give a shit about was all on the right. And this time they did the stupid crap of like cutting so far away. Like they opened half the trailers with like a wide shot, so you couldn't really see what the fuck the first moments of the trailer was, which is some of the most important spots of a trailer. And then at the end of a trailer, where they frequently have like the date, they cut away to the fucking audience. Like, what the hell were they doing? Was this retarded? Didn't like, oh god, there was just a bad move all around. Jeez, if they picked a different person to be their like planner for the conference than last year, then they should go to whoever the fuck did it last year, because that guy knew what the fuck he was doing. This guy didn't. This was like significantly worse than last year. Even though they were attempting to have the same gravitas, they totally lost it, especially with the lack of live orchestra. To be fair, like, you can't do a live orchestra every year. Well, you can, but it's not necessarily, it's not required, and it doesn't necessarily add to every game. Like, there's no point seeing like an indie game with a live orchestra behind it, because half the time the greatest part of an indie game is like the cool, crazy, weird like track they choose. Like, if you look at the Night of, or what the fuck, at the Night, not that Cyberpunk, the Blade Runner game that we were gaga about yesterday, the Night of is a TV series, I forget what the name of the game is, the Blade Runner game we were really into yesterday, that had an amazing sound, like a original track behind it. I'm pretty sure it was an original track, and you can't obviously like replicate that with an orchestra. Like, you can't do like a digital kind of effect. Like, maybe you can have the artist who composed like a kind of indie track there doing it. That would be crazy. Like, that would be like nuts. That's next level shit if you actually get like individual composers and all that kind of shit to come out and do their own tracks. Like, that's maybe that's next year's Sony, or like 5 years from now Sony. But like, at the moment, like, you don't need an orchestra for everything. That said, though, you do need to get your stagecraft and your camera work right. And they just didn't. They cut away in so many important moments. We weren't even sure. I'm pretty sure that there was a couple of trailers where they did have the last moment of the trailer as the date, and they totally cut away during that. Like, it wasn't Monster Hunter, but it was one of the others. Like, really big. It might have been like, not Beyond Two Souls. What the fuck is that name of that game? Detroit Become Human. I'm pretty sure the last frame of that trailer, I don't know for certain, because fucking I couldn't see it because it cut away, but I'm pretty sure the end of that trailer, because it went dark, was a date, like probably like 2018 or something, whatever the hell that was. Anyway, so going back, the thing Sean Layden stepped off the stage to was, in fact, Monster Hunter World. I hate leaks, because this would have been a really massive, like, fucking gut punch from Sony, which is really great. I have never been into Monster Hunter. I know Brad is, and he, again, was probably freaking out, but for me, this is a Monster Hunter game I can get behind. Like, it looked like a current-gen legitimate game. I love the animations. They look so good. Aside from like swinging the swords, but I know that they have a very particular way they do swinging weapons in Monster Hunter, and that's on purpose. So that's their style, and I'm fine with that. Like, it looked janky to me whenever he swung that gigantic sword, and it like it pauses for a moment when it connects with the enemy, and then keeps going. Like, there's this weird like swing, pause, swing kind of like look to it, which I can get behind. But him moving looked good, and the world looked incredible, and it looked like almost seamless, like a continuous kind of area, which is fucking awesome. But to be fair, like Brad specifically pointed out, that having a multi-area kind of world is intrinsic to the Monster Hunter design, and this looked as if it didn't have that. It looked like it was a continuous world. So I don't know how those two things would mesh. Maybe it's just a very large area that he was in, and it's still multi-area for each combat, something like that, but it looked great. But speaking of looking great, holy shit. This was the bomb of the conference. And it wouldn't necessarily... The bad thing is, like, not many people would potentially see this as a bomb, but when I saw it, as a person who sadly skipped Shadow of the Colossus back in the day, and then just couldn't get himself motivated to play the remastered, just because even though it was remastered, it was still an old fucking game, and still kind of looked a bit janky. Shadow of the Colossus, oh man, That's it's between that Wolfenstein and still weirdly enough, Life is Strange, and Assassin's Creed. Like those are probably my up there for games of show. But in terms of the one that I'm probably most excited for, and just had a trailer that I want to just keep watching over and over and over again, it's Shadow of the Colossus. Like Shadow of the Colossus, man. Like everything about that looked so polished, and it's just a vertical slice. Like, well, not a vertical slice, but it was just a trailer, and it wasn't a CG trailer. It didn't look like it. It wasn't high enough a graphical quality to convince me that it was a CG trailer. It looked like it could have convincingly been gameplay. And just seeing some of those wide shots with either him on foot or on the horse, but really far away from the Colossi, and then just like towering in the distance or above him, it feels like a realization of what they were trying to do with the PS2 game, but with like an extra coat of paint on it, like particle effects and wind effects, and oh man, like just the mane of his horse as he rides through the desert towards a Colossus and dodges from side to side. I was just breathtaking with how that game looked, man. Like his cape. I know his clothes, they kept the same clothes, and it's a very strange and interesting design that was in the original game and is in this. And just like the way that his clothes, the cloth in his clothes flows, his hair. I think it's strange because I think they went for a cartoony kind of look for him, but an almost like realistic kind of look, which is strange to say about Colossus because they're not real, but like a realistic kind of look for the Colossi. And I don't see them too, and him, especially, and his horse. His horse looks like a really well-rendered horse, but he looks cartoony. So there's like a kind of slight disconnect there. But beyond that, just from start to finish, that just blew me away. Just blew me away. And I didn't play the original, so the fact that it's a remake doesn't affect me at all. Like this may as well be an original game to me. I am excited. That looks incredible. 2018 is the release window for it. If it gets pushed, I'm not surprised. And frankly, I'm happy if they take as long as they want for it. It's not like we're hurting for games to play. Like fucking the end of this year, we have Wolfenstein, we have Evil Within, which I'm not going to play, but still it's there. We have Assassin's Creed. Like we have so many things coming out in the next couple of months. Destiny 2. I'm totally fine if they take the time with it. Next year we have fucking God of War and like just so much stuff coming out. They could take their goddamn time with Shadow of the Colossus because that looks great, and they need to nail that when it comes out. To be fair, it's not like they're building it from like a whole new thing because it is based on another game. It is a remake. But I've heard, the Easy Allies speculated that there was a number of cut Colossuses from the original games. Maybe they'll put those in, and that could be grounds for like a really big change, a really important change to that game that could be amazing to people who are coming back to it. Anyway, that enough waxing about that, but that was easily my favorite thing at the Sony press conference, and probably my favorite thing of the show. Yeah, like in terms of something I saw that was just like, wow, I want to see more. Sorry, I want to play that when it comes out, and I don't need to see more of it because it looks good enough that I never want to see it again. Like The Last of Us 2. Like I do not need to see any more of The Last of Us 2 until that comes out. I did not need to see any more of God of War until that comes out, but we saw more. So there was like other stuff that was probably there, but I don't fucking remember. There was a large VR segment. The Easy Allies went really hard on them getting Skyrim, but I think that was a big get. Ever since VR was announced, I was like, we need Skyrim VR. I've been saying that since the start. And the fact that Sony got it as a PSVR game, that's a big get. I don't care what people say. I know it's an old fucking game, whatever. That just means it will run well in VR. I think that could be a very big winner. Would I buy a PSVR for it? I probably wouldn't. That's more because we're getting to the 2-year, the 1-year mark, and by the time Skyrim VR comes out, it'll probably be closer to 2-year mark. And at that point, we're looking at refresh time. So there might be an Oculus 2, and there might be an HTC Vive 2, especially with some of the upgrades that HTC Vive people, that company has been playing with, their new strap with the audio built in, and the wireless stuff that a couple companies have been working on. Like the HTC Vive 2 is probably just around the corner, and by just around the corner, I mean like within the next year and a half, maybe 2 years, that will be probably the time. But when I do get that, I probably will go back and play Skyrim VR, especially if by then there'll probably be better graphics cards for it, mods on the VR version, like that kind of stuff. Like once you have all that in one package, that could be a big thing. Assuming it's coming to PC. If it is not coming to PC, then I can be potentially swayed. There are a couple of PSVR games that I'm somewhat interested in. I would never play Resident Evil. I am too much of a coward. But you know, like I'll look at the catalog when I'm there. At the moment, I'm not interested. But maybe when Skyrim VR comes out, I haven't played Skyrim since it came out. Actually, I played it once, and not in VR, obviously. But I played it once, and I don't know if I would go back to it. So maybe that's the bigger problem. Is like, would I even go back to Skyrim at this point? Because I do remember that game still pretty well. So like, it's not that long since it came out. But no, I think that was a big get. And that music, man, that music when Skyrim came on, I can listen to Jeremy Soule all day. I'm pretty sure that was Jeremy Soule, right? So fucking great job. That was my takeaway from the VR segment. Everything else I could not give less of a fuck about. There's a bunch of games by Supermassive, which is... I just don't care. I'm sorry. I can't believe they put that much time in their press conference. They put Ni No Kuni 2 in the pre-show, and they spent that much time in the press conference on fucking VR. I think that was a bad one. Then, yeah, like midway through, Sean Layden comes out again. He talks for a bit, whatever. And you get to... my second favorite game of this conference, God of War. I actually think that was a bad trailer. It just didn't flow for me. Like it showed like a lot of different bits of the game, and to me that's like I don't need to see a lot of different bits of the game. Like I trust you guys. You know what you're doing. You showed me what you're doing last time. Like if you're gonna show me more God of War, just show me another vignette. I don't need like a whole fucking expose on everything that's going to be in this game. But they went for that. They went for like a bunch of different parts of it, a bunch of different enemies, a bunch of different bosses or big characters that you might meet along the way. Jormungandr? Not Yggdrasil. Is it Jormungandr? The World Serpent. That was a kind of cool thing to see. Fuck, I'm going to find that name. It's not the Yggdrasil's the world tree. What the fuck is the world serpent? The world serpent. Live fact checking on a podcast. Jormungandr, go me. Fuck yeah. I was wondering if it was like Nidhogg, but no. Yeah, so Jormungandr at the end of that was kind of interesting to see their rendition of and just how gigantic he is. That was fucking cool. And makes me know like go like, oh yeah, they can still do scale. They can still do scale. That's God of War. And that's the only part they really need to show me. Everything else I knew they could do beforehand. Like I know that he will probably have multiple weapons. Like they've done that in previous games. And this time they started the shield, which is cool. I don't think he's had a shield before, so that's interesting. And then a lot of hand-to-hand and axe-to-face combat, which is, yeah, what I expect from that. He swung the axe around him like arranged way, which is cool, so you can still have that wide kind of area effect that you should be able to have with the Blades of Chaos. I like the axe a lot, and I like the shield a lot, but I hope you get the blades by the end of this game. Or we'll find out what happened to the blades. I think we know what happened to the blades, but fuck it, I don't care, I want the blades back. There's something about the Blades of Chaos that is just intrinsic to what Kratos is as a character. It's just the coolest thing. They look so cool. They feel so cool to use. I know that it would detract from this in some ways because having a different weapon means the game would intrinsically play differently, which is a good thing. Having an axe brings, like, kind of meshes with the fact that the camera is much closer to you and it makes it far more intimate in the violence of it. So an axe is a far more fitting thing for that. But before, with the blades, you could afford to be really far away from it because the area you're affecting with all your attacks is so wide. But now that he has an axe, he's affecting a much smaller area, and the camera's closer, so it all kind of fits together. But I would like to see, because he has that Spartan range kind of power, right? I mean, when you just say, in the first trailer, he's like, goes fucking psycho and starts beating the shit out of a giant fucking thing with his bare hands. Like, that Spartan rage thing, I would like to see At the end of the game, you do that and get the blades. Like, while you're in that mode, you have the Blades of Chaos. Like, that could be a fucking cool thing if they bring that. Like, we all thought it when he went to spawn range during the first trailer. He puts his arms back and to his sides in the way that he usually holds the Blades of Chaos, and everyone thought the blades would be there, but they didn't come. And to be fair, like, he fucking wrecked face with his fucking bare hands. That's really cool in and of itself. But if he did have the Blades of Chaos, that'd be awesome. Anyway, that's a weird small nitpick. I that game looks incredible, just both visually and in terms of what they're doing with it. I like the stuff with him and his son. I like the stuff that he's. I like the fact that you're lecturing the son about like how Kratos would want him to live. It introduced a question as to who the mother was, whether because she says he's not your past, he's your son. That's a really interesting thing. Like, is he actually Kratos' son? That could be kind of interesting. Like, he met a new person, or maybe even he had a daughter before. I can't remember. I think it was a daughter before. I think this is a new woman, a new son. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's multiple ways to look at it. Maybe the underworld transitions from Hades to whoever the fucking Norse equivalent is, and he could go to that underworld and get his family back. And that's who these people are. Like, maybe that was what happened, but I think he had a daughter, and in which case that doesn't fit. So I don't remember. Maybe I could be wrong either way, but that could be one way they take it, or it could be he met a different woman and had a new son. That could be the way that goes. Or she could just be saying it in a metaphorical sense. Like, he's not your past, he's your son. Like, she's asking him to treat this boy as his son. Like, maybe that was the case. But either way, there's a new character introduced. He's probably going to be really important. And that was the thing I took away from the show. That and Jormungandr. Like, those are two things I really took away. Everything else was like, okay, good to see. I didn't need to see it. I'm happy with you guys just go dark on this and just put it out. But there was another thing I needed to see, and they did show it, which is a kind of release window, early 2018. That surprises me. I would have guessed this was late 2018. Let's be serious here. It probably is going to be late 2018. They're going to push this fucking game. It ain't going to make March. That said, though, God of War is famous for its March releases, and this could rule March if it does come out in March. I was planning to be doing this podcast while watching the PC gaming show, because I heard some interesting stuff was dropped in that, but I've been doing a bad job. I've been looking at levels instead. I haven't been paying attention to the PC gaming show at all. I'm just going to be scrolling through this at the moment. I don't know. It seems like they did a way better show this year. Like, they fucking did way better stage presence. Day 9, I usually actually personally don't like him, but this year I think he did a fantastic job. Like, Aisha Tyler-esque level of badassery in terms of, like, being both funny and a good stage presence. Like, I'm legitimately impressed. It helps that he was standing, I think. To be fair, like, they had stools for a lot of it, and they were kind of, like, leaning, but there was no desk this year. I think it was just something about, like, his personality and his being, like, not removed from the audience, but just, like, being right in front of you there, either on, like, a stool or just standing in front of you. Like, something about that that added a level, extra level of, like, connectivity between him and you that made me finally get over the edge of liking him. So I like Day 9. He did a great job from the 15 minutes or so I watched with audio on for the PC gaming show. Anyway, back to Sony. So they showed God of War. That looked great. Don't need to see more of it. And then they showed Beyond Two Souls. Detroit Become Human. I hated this trailer. I'm sorry. I just don't. I liked it way more when it was morally gray than this guy who's kind of just a fucking asshole. I know, like, they're kind of trying to make it that, you know, more obviously that we are the bad, like, humans are the bad guys, androids are trying to be free. That's all fair. Like, if you invent a sentient species, like, you can't expect them to be to your thrall or be in your thrall. But that is a fucking played out concept. I did not need to see this shit. I like the fact that you can choose between violence and non-violence. That was great, and I would probably have preferred to see them go down the non-violent option. Maybe that would have done it for me, but the fact that that trailer just really did go down the, oh, this is the Android Revolt path, it just didn't warm us. I just didn't care about the new character. Like, I liked, what's her name? Not Jessie. Far out. Connor was the second dude. I liked him. He was the detective guy. And the main character from the original, Kara. I like Kara. I like Connor. I don't like this guy. At all. I just hated. I did not like him. I didn't like his stupid guerrilla tactic bullshit. It makes sense. All of it made sense. The way they showed everything made sense. I love the fact that you can change the outcome of the event and the ways you can change the outcome. That all made sense. His perspective made sense. I just personally didn't like him. I just didn't like him as a person. I'm sorry. But maybe it's because I'm human. If he went that non-violent way, I probably would have liked him way more. And maybe they were in the game. They pull off that half of the options well. And if they do that, then yeah, maybe I could totally turn around on him and playing him as a non-violent, like a pacifist leader, a freedom leader. That could be really interesting, and in a way, I can get behind. Especially if humans don't play ball. Like if humans are the violent ones, and he's trying to be a passive resistance, that could be a really cool thing. And if they'd shown that, that probably would have turned me around the whole trailer. But they showed the violent over blah blah blah, setting things on fire, shooting police. Like I didn't need to see any of that shit. And again, like the police aren't wrong. Like these, I don't know if these things are actually sentient. You will have to see them in the game. Kara was amazing at portraying the fact that she might be sentient. She is a almost indistinguishable copy of a sentient being, and that is awesome. But I don't know if they are sentient. I'm using the wrong word there. Sapient. Sentient. This is that's a lower level of life than sapient. I wonder if they are actually sapient. Are they actually AI? They want us to believe that they are and connect them that way, but are humans actually wrong to terminate these things? Do we know in that future whether they are or are not sapient? That is a significant point, because if it is, for example, if you did create a machine that could mimic a human perfectly, that's part of the whole background behind it. Like, is that sufficient to call sapient, or is there something else? Is there that ability to feel and to relate? Like, where do we don't know where we draw the line. I don't want to go down this path. I'm going to stop talking about this path, because that's like the whole point of this whole sub genre of fiction, is to explore questions like that. And obviously there's no answers to any of it yet. We as a society and species haven't figured out the answer to that, because we haven't really actually come up against that problem yet. And hopefully we don't, because it seems like it's something that's fraught with ways to go horribly, horribly wrong. Anyway, but yeah, there you go. Detroit, didn't like the guy. I can see where they're going with it. Still excited for the game. I didn't see a release date or anything on there. To be fair, they cut the fuck away at the end of the trailer, so I don't fucking know if they had a release date at the end of it. I don't think they did. I don't even think they had a release window. I'll Google it. You know what? I'll Google it. Fuck it. I've done it a couple times doing this already. May as well just type it in. Detroit Become Human. Let's see. 2017 is the date. Damn! This year? No way. I find that difficult to believe. Come on. Don't be crazy. This year? Detroit Become Human was announced on October 27th of October 2015. No, I don't see a reason to say it's 2017. Google and Wikipedia is wrong, at least at this point. It was at the ET 2017 press conference. That doesn't help. Yeah, Polygon doesn't have a release date on it. I don't think they have a release date on it, which is fine. Sure, just keep working on it. David Cage Games are usually bad anyway. Sorry, that was mean. Let's see how he goes. Let's give him the time to work on this thing, polish it up, put it out, make more characters, and because I think it feels like it won't be just these three. These three don't feel like a cohesive like set to fully round out a cast. Like, Kara seems like she has a very different sensibility to Connor, who has a very different sensibility to what this fucking asshole was. And I don't know. Feel like it's missing a side of the story. So Kara's an external. We have Connor, who's in the system. We have this dude who's totally against. And I think we need, like, someone who's maybe working for the manufacturer or is working for government. Like, not like a police officer, like, in the government. Maybe, like, an aide-de-camp to, like, a president or something. Maybe, like, that kind of side to just see... because I feel like Connor will be swayed one way or the other. I feel like Connor would probably go towards the resistance. That seemed to be... For some reason, I feel like that's his character arc, just looking at him. Kara is obviously the emotional core of the whole thing, and she'll probably be a prime character that you can choose which way she goes. Maybe you can choose which way everyone goes, but fucking, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a full cast. I think we're missing one. I think there should be one more, at least one more, maybe two more characters. If they're going for a full suite, and this is again assuming the game's like 15-20 hours. If the game's like 6 to 10 hours, then this is it. This is your three characters, and that's fine. Connor can be the in-system guy, then this asshole can be the out-system guy, and Carr can be the in-between. Like, that's fine. If that's a 10-hour game. But if they're looking for that 15-20-hour game, I think they're missing two characters, unless these characters are really deep and fleshed out, which I, looking at them, and the fact that you can choose which direction they go, like, especially, like, that's really important with this asshole, be able to pick whether he goes good or evil. That's how I'm looking at it. Like, violent or not violent. The fact that you can choose that's fundamentally changes who he is. So, maybe, like, it's weird. You can't draw lines if you can choose which one is good or bad. And that's probably a really good thing. That probably says a lot in favor of the story of this game, that it is that complex. So maybe they only need those three characters. I don't know. Anyway, Shrug. I'm still excited for that game. Again, didn't like this guy. Whatever. Moving on. The last thing they showed, this is the last thing I can remember them showing, is I think it just went from Detroit to that. Spider-Man. That Spider-Man, yo. Spider-Man has never been my favorite superhero. I don't want to shock anyone. I like Marvel, but I've always been like an Iron Man guy. I know they're intrinsically linked in the Marvel universe now, but Iron Man, Thor, those are my top two boos. Who else do I like in fucking Marvel? I like Vision, especially in the movie, it's just because I love that actor. A lot of the X-Men I like, but in terms of, like, the Avengers crew, just Spider-Man has never been my jam. Cap has never been my jam. I don't give a shit about Winter Soldier. Black Panther looks sick. I'm going to say that trailer looks great again. I said it last episode. Black Panther looks great. Anyway, back on point. Spider-Man, never been my favorite superhero. The fact that he, like, reveals himself during Civil War, I never gave a fuck. Like, I know that was a huge deal for a lot of people when that comic book series came out. I could not care less that Spider-Man revealed himself. And all that bullshit with him swapping sides during the Civil War, I could not care less. I know he's, like, probably the most popular, for some reason, superhero in the United States. Spider-Man. I don't get it. But, okay, sure. He's a wisecracking, teenage, super genius spider dude. I'm sure there's something in there people like. Not me, though. I'm a Tony Stark guy. And, you know, Reed Richards is pretty cool. Professor X is pretty cool. Anyway. So, this game never really had a thing for me. I never really looked at it and went, oh yeah, I need a Spider-Man game in my fucking life. I never played Spider-Man on PS2. I've heard it was great for people who like Spider-Man, but that's cool. This game looked, I think, visually fantastic. Spotless. I think they did a fantastic job with the way this game looks. I don't like the UI at all. I hate the UI, in fact. But that's a stylistic choice, and that's more like, I can't fault the look of the UI, it's just how they, I don't like it, but that was their choice to make it. I think I hit my lap there. Sorry if I made a massive, like, bump sound. But I don't like it, but that's their choice with it, and that's fine. Did we see damage numbers when he hit things? My head, for some reason, I might be thinking of something. No, I'm thinking of Assassin's Creed, maybe. Yeah, I think I'm thinking of Assassin's Creed. His combat looked really interesting in that it kept moving from full speed to slow and then full speed again. Same with, like, general movement. Like, he he was going full speed, then was slowing down time, then speeding up again, slowing down, speeding up again. I assume that was to do with some form of button presses, maybe like an aiming mode or something like that. But for me, it just looked really jarring. And I think that that kind of stuff only really translates if you have the controller in your hands and can feel it for yourself. Because really, it makes sense because he does move so quickly. So maybe you just kind of need that to keep track of everything that's going on. And I don't, like, if you're going to slow down combat for me, I'm not going to fucking complain. Like, I love being handed that, like, as many player assistances in the active combat system as you can give me. Unless it's like something as fluid as a Devil May Cry, which just does not look like. But no, he moves well. I love all the animations they put in for him webbing dudes up. That looks so perfect. Him webbing things in general. His webs looked fucking great. I wonder how they'll look on all versions of PS4. Like, was this running on a Pro? I don't know, but his webs looked fucking great. Every way he used his webs, like whether it was like roping up a dude and then slinging him over a pole in the ceiling and using that as like a fulcrum or a pulley for to pull him up and then rope him up, or like sticking things like people or like massive things to a wall to stop it from falling, like that. All the kind of stuff, like every way he used his web looked great. When he was flying through the city in the trail in the gameplay demo, there was only a couple of spots where I looked at it and was like, that physics in that makes no sense whatsoever. Like there was no building there for him to shoot that web at. Or the angle he shot that web at shouldn't have given him any forward momentum. That's weird. It should actually probably pulled him back the other direction, but okay, whatever. So there's obviously a little hand waving there, but that's fine. That you kind of need that in a video game because you just can't fucking program every particular way for him to shoot a web to give him the right momentum and trajectory for everything the player wants to do, right? Like that's just not impossible. That's just not possible. So it looked good enough. I like the fact that if he made a wrong move in terms of slinging, then he did definitely slow down. So there's a couple of spots where he did have to just run along the side of a building because he just couldn't get the angle on the swing or whatever. That was good. So if we had to walk through the trailer from start to end, he starts off in a stealthy kind of segment, and that was cool. It made you feel very Spider-Man-y, very like almost Batman-y in terms of you're up in the rafters and you're pulling people up one at a time. That was kind of cool. A lot of environmental weapon usage, which I think is great for a video. I, as a person, never use that in game. I never use environmental shit in game. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But like even explosive barrels, like I use them like a couple of times in an entire playthrough of the game. Like in Horizon Zero Dawn, there's multiple missions where there's shitloads of explosive barrels around. Those are the only times I ever use them. When you see the same explosive barrels in like another mission, I never use it. Mass Effect Andromeda. There's explosive barrels all over that fucking game. I never use them. Could not be fucked. I'd rather just snipe a dude in the middle of the head. And he's down, and I can move the fuck on. Just not me. But he used a lot of environmental stuff, which I think for a lot of people looked very impressive. I don't know how useful that is in game. His hand-to-hand combat looked fine. Again, a lot of slowing down, and we have to see how that feels. So he sneaks, he fights, and then he does this extended sequence with this helicopter where he flies to the city. And I think this demo was a bad one to choose in that like there was nothing in there for the audience to really grab onto in terms of story. But I think the reason they chose it was because of this. Because it went from a stealth sequence to a combat sequence to a free-flying sequence. And it showed you all the three facets of that game. And I think those are the three facets of the game. The only thing we're really missing is what you do when not in a mission, right? So in a mission, that's the three facets. And you have free swinging through a city, and that looked mighty impressive. The actual movement looked great. The thing that didn't look great, and a lot of people harped on about, is who aren't me, is the fact that when it did come down to it, everything was a quick time event. So when it actually came down to taking down the helicopter, stopping the whatever that big shipping container, no, big generator, I think it was, the generator from hitting things, like all the kind of stuff, like saving people in the public, like all that stuff was just quick time event after quick time event after quick time event after quick time event. And they needed to do that. because there's no real way for you to be doing that in real time as a player. Well, the only way I've seen it done is in DMC Devil May Cry, where there's a level of that game where the whole level is played in slow motion. So you are moving at, I think like the enemy or you have a power to slow down time, and time slows, or time just stops. It slows to a crawl, and the whole level, I think it's like a 5-10 minute level, the whole thing is played in slow motion, or the world is moving slow motion, but you're leading normal speed, and that did afford you the ability to do things that would normally only be doable in a QuickTime event, and looked cool, and looked fucking great. But no, this though, it really did it just kind of looked, you know, QuickTime-y. It was just, they didn't do that. They just went full speed. It visually looked incredible. Everything he was doing fit what Spider-Man is as a character. His quips felt like Spidey quips, and that was fine. None of them were really laugh out loud funny for me, but I've never found Spidey that funny, so that's probably just me. I don't know. I bet Spidey fans loved it. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. But either way, like, yeah, he felt like Spidey to me. He moved like Spidey to me. He did Spidey like shit, and it finished with him in a 3-point landing pose. So that looked like Spider-Man. There you go. This joins Microsoft in terms of a conference that failed to stick the landing for me. Specifically, I think you should end a conference with something people have never seen before, something that really wows people. And we kind of knew Spider-Man was coming, or at a minimum, we kind of already knew in our heads what Spider-Man would be. And this just kind of, like, this didn't show us anything that made me go, wow, I've never seen that before. It just showed me something that looked solid. It looked like a solid Spider-Man game. And that's not what you end a press conference on. It's like, same with Microsoft. Anthem looks great, but we knew it was coming. I mean, we already had expectations of what that game was. So when we saw it, it just kind of confirmed those expectations. Or in some cases, exceeded them, but it didn't really, like, fucking rock the boat, right? I think for Sony, if they ended with Shadow of the Colossus, that could have been a big deal. Especially if they'd gone for, like, a 4-minute trailer instead of a 2-minute trailer and just showed us a little bit more. Maybe just, like, just showed us a sequence. Maybe 2 minutes of him actually approaching a colossus, riding through the desert and then coming around a corner or past a mountain and seeing Colossus and then riding towards that and maybe taking out his sword and using like the pointer or whatever, like all that kind of stuff, and then cutting to this trailer. So it's like 2 minutes of him riding and 2 minutes of this trailer. Let's like slap those two things together and have that at the end of the conference. That could have just fucking blown people the fuck away, and I think that was, for me at least, the big thing of the show, and I think it would have been the big bomb drop at the end for a lot of people, and that could have like maybe skewed the whole conference in a positive direction. Oh yeah, right, they showed Destiny. That's one of the things I missed. It was after Detroit. That looked alright. I don't know. I'm already sold on Destiny, so whatever. Sure. As long as it's not bad, I'll buy that game. And I don't think the trailer was great. I don't think it achieved its purpose of making you really hate the villain or whatever. This isn't a villain you're supposed to hate, though. This is a villain you're supposed to be able to understand, and that's kind of cool. But at the same time, it didn't feel like this exceeded your expectations or showed you something that was unique. It just showed you that this is what the villain looked like, and he's one of those villains. Like he doesn't have a twist on him that seemed like particular, unless you're like really into the lore of Destiny, which I'm not. That game may as well not have had lore for me. That's the thing. But yeah, so like overall, with the ending sequence of Spider-Man, I'm sorry I'm jumping all the way around here, but you know, doing that off the cuff. I've spoken for almost as long as the conference was. It's 48 minutes so far. I just didn't feel it. I just did not feel it, aside from that Monster Hunter and Shadow of the Colossus, as easy as calls it, 1-2 punch. That was fucking awesome. Monster Hunter isn't for me, but, or it wasn't before, maybe this one is, and it looks so good, I might try it out, but that Shadow of the Colossus, I didn't get a chance, well, I did get a chance, but I never really gave it that time of mine, And I'm happy I didn't, because now I get to play it for the first time in this remake version, and it looks so good. I'm just going to watch that trailer again now. No real massive bombs for Shadows, and I think really bad stage presentation. They should have just done what they did last year and presented it like they did last year. I don't like what they changed up this year. I don't like the lack of live orchestra, all the crap. Didn't do it for me. I hate the camera work. I hate the fact they cut away from trailers, did wide shots when they should have just been full screen trailers. Like, fuck off. Bad presentation. I like the Indian music at the start, but I'm biased. I'm Indian. That was kind of cool. Not that I listened to Indian music. I fucking barely ever listened to Indian music, but it's cool seeing a little bit of flavor, that oriental flavor in, in the press conference. Overall, just didn't do it for me. The games I came out of that, aside from Monster Hunter and Shadow Colossus, the games I came out of it excited for were the same games I came into it excited for, so the press conference did nothing. This press conference may as well have not existed for me, except for that Shadows of Colossus and Monster Hunter trailer. I did not need this press conference to exist. And that's probably the worst thing to say about a press conference, aside from it being bad. It was not a bad press conference. It just didn't do anything for me. It was just a mediocre press conference. So my overall score for it would have probably been a 7.5. It probably would have been a 6 if it wasn't for those two trailers. And I'll give it a 7.5. 7.5 out of 10. That's the cynic score, because... Fuck it, I just love scoring these things. I know it's not important whatsoever. I know it means nothing, but I don't care. I love scoring press conferences. I think that's the last one except for Nintendo. So to wrap everything up, we've got EA as a 4 out of 10. Bethesda as a 7, I think I gave it. Microsoft as a 8. I think they were my favorite press conference this year. By a small margin. Bethesda a 7.5. I already said Bethesda as a 7. Who else was there? Oh, Ubisoft. I talked about Ubisoft during our previous recording. I don't know what order this is going to go up in, but I think I gave that a 7.5. That was great. Mostly because Beyond Good and Evil was a CG trailer. Fuck off. It looked fantastic, but fuck off. It's a CG trailer. And didn't have a date, so double fuck off. And there's nothing that press conference for me, aside from Assassin's Creed, which you already see more of and better footage of in Sony press in the Microsoft press conference. Fuck off. If I was to, I've forgotten what scores I gave everything, but I'll give everything a gut score now. So Ubisoft a 4, so Ubisoft a 7, a Bethesda a 7, Sony a 7.5, Microsoft a 8, and EA a 4. Those are my press conferences. I'm not going to score Devolver because fuck those guys. That was funny. It was a good joke, but I don't want to play into the joke by giving them a score. That's it. Nintendo tomorrow and PC gaming. I was supposed to be watching during recording this and live commenting on it, kind of ish. But whatever. I'm busy talking. Sorry. But I heard Age of Empires was a thing. That's kind of cool. I don't know. So that's kind of awesome. And XCOM supposedly has a really cool new expansion thing. That's good. I'm happy for that. So far, this E3 has probably been the most boring E3 in years, which is kind of sad, but also, fine. This is going back to E3 of old. Sony changed E3 in a big way when they started fucking dropping bombs 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And it was just back-to-back absurd E3s, and I was just kind of going back to how E3 was before Sony just actually fucking destroyed it with all their amazing conferences. And that's fine. E3 is amazing, and it should be about the games. And if you don't have anything to show, don't show it. That's cool. I'm happy to wait for more bombs in the future. Any bombs not dropped today will be dropped later, and that's fine by me. So far it's been a pretty boring E3, and that's fine. Nintendo's tomorrow. It'll be really funny if they've got bombs to drop. That'll be actually pretty hilarious to me, and totally fine. That'll be a really good thing overall, because I need something to do with my fucking Switch, right? I've been playing Zelda though. Zelda's all right. I keep making fun of that game, but that's mostly just to piss people off. That game's pretty cool. I'm just doing my first dungeon now. Wow, that's saying a lot about how little I played that game, but there you go. Yeah, doing my first dungeon now. That dungeon was pretty fun. Like, I like the Zora. They're pretty cool dudes. I find it weird. Oh, no, wait, that's all spoilers. I can't. No spoilers. I won't say any spoilers. That game's alright. I like it. It's not going to be up there with fucking Persona 5 or Horizon, but that's a good game. Anyway, I'm rambling. That was my Sony reactions and my overall press conferences thing so far. I'll be watching Nintendo live at 2:30 a.m. local time. That's going to be fun. I might record something after that. I don't know if I'll be doing it solo or with the team. I have no idea who will be watching that live tomorrow, but we will see. So with that, thank you for listening. If you've gotten to hear, wow, sorry it was just me, I guess. Hope it didn't bore you. But that's my impressions of Sony and the rest of E3 until this point. It hasn't really even started yet. We'll see how the rest of it goes. But you should only really see this and the Nintendo thing from us, as well as the other comms ones, and you'll probably hear nothing from us for another, at least probably until this weekend, if not next weekend. So with that, thank you for listening, and bye.